today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
That's why we have to magnify ourselves, because if I don't say nothing, you're not saying anything. What do you think they're going to follow? They're going to follow somebody. Nobody's standing on an island by themselves. If you don't say it, someone else will. That's why God wants us to say it. All of the big boys is making multi-millions of dollars holding the microphone. They're trying to rob, the enemy's trying to rob preachers of this moment. I got to do that to get your mind. I got to do that, entertain you, to get you to listen to the word of God.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Disciples of Stewardship. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18.
As we continue Financial Liberty 2022, how in the world are people joining our church and getting saved when we preach on stewardship? Because stewardship is very close to discipleship. As Moses instructs the congregation in the wilderness, as we use this for a text for those of you that are in the wilderness of your discipleship and your stewardship, God has a word for you. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increases and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the world, out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. Man, I can preach that. Some of y'all like the Hard Rock Cafe. But God brought you sustenance out of unexpected places. Look at verse 16. He gave you manna to eat in the desert. Something your fathers had never known. He did it to humble and to test you. Glory to God. To that end, the end, it might go well with you. Look at verse 17. You may say to yourself, my power, my strength, or the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the power, the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he made or swear to your forefathers, as it is today. Most of us know clearly, verse 18, for it is God that gives you the power to get wealth, that you may establish his covenant. But I believe God wanted me to read from verse 18. It is an admonishment that after you prosper, it is very easy to forget who God is. I want to share with you today in our Financial Liberty series this message entitled, The Disciples of Stewardship. The Disciples of Stewardship, part one here at our early service, and then part two at 11 a.m. Dear God, We want to see your victory. For the battle belongs to you. And I'm asking you, Lord, to touch and to transform and to help us to meld discipleship and stewardship. And for those who follow you, I pray that we would learn to follow you completely. For wherever the treasure is, so is the heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the mouth has a way of changing the course of our lives. So I would ask that you would touch hearts. Let your word fill our hearts in abundance. So we would echo and begin to confess what your will is for our lives, concerning our families, our community, but also concerning how we steward and manage what you've given us. I decree and declare a new day that we would bring into order and take care and manage your creation well, but also the people that are under our influence and the resources that you've given to us. Thank you for setting at liberty those who are bound. I come against the spirit of debt and poverty, and I decree prosperity over the people of God and discipleship and stewardship, which is practical. It is not just spiritual. Thank you for that, Father. And I pray that as I teach, that we would have a heart to receive, ears to hear it, a mind to comprehend it, a spirit to contain it. And we will give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just say this as our minstrels are winding up here. I want to just say to you all that it is a joy to pastor you. And it is a joy to preach to you. Sometimes in my natural self, I don't feel the unction to preach. It is a discipline to do that every week. It is not just glorious or glamorous. It is glorious. But I have a joy to come to you on a weekly basis in my soul to minister the word. And one of the greatest things that I think any father or mother longs to see is to see children eat from the table and enjoy it. And then watch them grow over the years. And so I've seen so many of you shift and grow in so many areas of your life, better parents and better students, better community organizers, better on your job, on your jobs, better members of our church, gaining confidence in the things that you do, and helping the ministry to gain traction in the community. And I'm watching it. I'm watching you worship. This is not a choir-based church where people watch the praise team sit down and critique it. In our ministry, we encourage everybody to worship, to be a good steward over the welcome. And everybody should be welcoming each other. Welcome to Truth Revealed. That's something that you need to learn how to say it. So let's practice right now. Come on. Good, good. That's something that you need to be saying to each other. I think I shared it with you the other week. And you need to learn how to say that to each other. I welcome you, or welcome to Truth Revealed. You say, well, I'm a member of the church. This doesn't matter. We're learning how to be a good steward over the welcome. And so we're not just asking the greeters to do it. We all should greet each other in the morning. Check your attitude at the door. I said, check it just like you check your baggage in an airplane. Check your attitude at the door. And when you start greeting people, attitude has to leave. Amen. And all greeters and folk who are standing at the door, you're the screen of the ministry. So you need to have your attitude right. You need to pray before you greet. Because if you don't screen them right, I have to deal with it when I stand before them. But if you greet right, welcome to Truth Revealed. It's going to be a glorious day. Come on, get your face saved. It's going to be a glorious day. I'm showing you the saved face. It's going to be a glorious day. When you start doing that and you see others smile because you smile, because it's contagious. A good attitude is contagious. Also, a bad attitude is contagious. So we want to shift it. Be a good steward over the welcome. Be a good steward over the worship. Everybody should worship. Minstrels should worship. Organists should worship. Drummers should worship. Everybody should worship. Singers should worship. And each one of you, even cameramen, should worship. When is the last time you just put your hands in the air? Just slipped it up. I don't have a problem with a minstrel every once in a while dipping up that hand. Put your hands on the keys too now. But I don't have a problem with you worshiping. Get lost in it. If you lose yourself in praise, you'll find yourself in worship. Amen. Then the heart shifts. Be a great steward of the worship. And then you want to be a great steward of receiving the word. Not just receiving it, but applying it to your circumstance. This is how you become a steward over the word. To receive it with all readiness, with all diligence, at the church, the Bereans, as they were, they checked it out to make sure whatever Paul was preaching was so. Be a good steward of the word by applying it to your circumstance. Glory to God. My wife today, this morning, turned on the TVs and made sure the atmosphere in the house was right with worship songs. So as I'm walking through the house, the worship was playing. It lifted me. It brought tears to my eyes. It prepared me for where we are today. Be a good steward over your atmosphere. When you get worship in your house, it'll drive out confusion. Amen. You have a better attitude when you come to church. I won't have to fix it. I won't have to fix your attitude. You can fix it in your own house, preparatory for coming. Turn on the TVs. Dim the lights. Turn on the TVs. Turn on Tamala Mann. What's her name? Yeah. Tasha Cobbs. Yes. He Knows My Name. I think that was playing this morning. What's that? Jonathan Nelson? What's his? Jason Nelson. What's his song? It's one word. Jason Nelson, man. Residue? Yeah. Residue. And elevation worship. Jaira. These things shift you, right? And then it changes. I need that. I need an atmosphere that helps me to transition into this atmosphere. Actually, I carry it with me. I carry the atmosphere with me. I carry the atmosphere with me. And when you carry the atmosphere with you, you don't have to generate anything here. It's with you. And then we become a good steward of the word by applying it to our circumstances. Discipleship and stewardship. And the witness is on the inside. My record is in heaven. My witness is on high. There's a witness with the Holy Spirit that we are the children of God. And then we carry that witness into the world. People want to know your heart. You can have as many scriptures, as Bishop McLaughlin says, as Carter has liver pills. I don't really know what that means. But I do know this, that people aren't interested in how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And if you make the heart connection, things go farther. And that witness is so important. Tell people your testimony, how God brought you out. People can't handle every detail. You don't have to let them know everything that you did. Just let them know you were tore up from the floor up. You were broke down, disgusted, had no money. God turned things around for you. You have to go into detail like you didn't have, you know, you didn't have any pennies at all. Just tell them I was tore up and God turned it around. Amen. And when you do that, you become a good steward of the witness. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our witness or testimony. And then we can do the work that he's called us to. I read to you out of Deuteronomy, the last book of Moses, the patriarch Moses, the leader of the nation. And as he warns the people of God that God brought you out of the land of Egypt, he's going to prosper you. But when he does, please don't forget that it was he who gave you the power to get wealth. Now you would establish the covenant. Much has been recorded over the years about routines. Much has been recorded about behaviors in scripture. And We even have so many self-help books, habits, breaking habits, these disciplines, I call them, these habits, these good habits or disciplines are essential. Disciplines of those who are highly effective or highly efficient, or those who walk in excellence. If you would see a person that's highly effective, highly efficient, that are walking in excellence, you would see disciplines accompanying their life, a routine. And whatever you have a routine in, right, a routine that brings a certain amount of success in your life, if you would just shift it in other areas with the routine, with the discipline, you would see that open up as well. Amen. So I'm creating a discipline like to work out several times a week, right? That's not something that I did well in my life, but I'm learning the discipline and sticking with it, right? And I can see some benefits from that discipline. Now, what if I applied that to other things in my life? That same type of fervor or discipline to do something for me, if I applied it to things that are external, that's beyond me, and just became disciplined in those things as well, that would make someone else smile. If I became a great manager of other things, not just what I do with me, but with other things that come into my life. Same mentality, same effort, just applying it in another area. I would see increase in that area. The ability to manage it well, whether that is family, faith, or finance, it doesn't matter. Those three things are necessary if you're going to be a balanced individual, or if you're going to achieve highly, if you're going to go to another level in your achievements, you have to have the disciplines. And much has been written by that or in that area of life. You can go to Barnes and Noble's and pick out books that will help you in those areas to become a high achiever. But I like to go to the scriptures and not just recommend books that can get you more information. There must be something that causes us to be disciples, to develop the discipline in the area of stewardship. And I want to marry both today, discipleship and stewardship. There are essential disciplines of those who are highly efficient, highly effective, and those that walk in excellence. For Christians can be highly effective and efficient. Men can be highly effective and efficient. Women can be highly effective and efficient, or high achieving teenagers. I want to encourage you to start teaching your kids stewardship while they're young. When they become our age, it will be a practical thing and not something that you have to force. But you can teach them stewardship, teach them to give to God. Like my mom used to give us a quarter. She said, you better put that in the church. Put it in the church. Some kids like to put it in their pocket. But my mama said, put that into a marijuana plant. They give more to the marijuana than they ever gave to the church. It's robbing our community. That habit alone is robbing our community. And you got to understand it. The big boys that our kids listen to, they're marijuana smokers. I heard 50 Cent say this week, man, the Snoop Doggy Dogg is one of the biggest marijuana smokers I've ever seen in my life. I asked him not to do it on the set when we do movies. He still do it anyway. And your kids are listening to these interviews right on Facebook, right? And if Snoop does it, they say, I can do it. That's why we have to snoop up. That's why we have to magnify ourselves, because if I don't say nothing, you're not saying anything. What do you think they're going to follow? They're going to follow somebody. Nobody's standing on an island by themselves. If you don't say it, someone else will. That's why God wants us to say it. All of the big boys is making multi-millions of dollars holding the microphone. They're trying to rob, the enemy's trying to rob preachers of this moment. I got to do that to get your mind. I got to do that, entertain you, to get you to listen to the word of God. They took a microphone just like me, added a beat to it, and everybody around the world is jumping on it. It is to rob the preacher of the moment. I got to rap to you before you get your head together. I got to be a good steward over what God has given me. And you need to rap to your kids from the word of God. Start while they're young. God wants you to be good stewards of your time, your talent, and your energy. And so I have what I call stewardship disciplines. And you're going to hear me share that on this morning. So let's talk about stewardship. Please write it down. Stewardship is a part of your discipleship. It is a part of your discipleship. God has given us a dream to realize, an ever-expanding dream to realize. The words should activate your imagination to dream. Thank you, Lord. God has no problem with questions. He even asks questions himself. Who do men say that I am? You've been with me for 3 years. You've walked with me through the desert. You've seen me operate and function. So who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And if God wants to know what we think about him, don't you want to know what he thinks about you? God wants to know, what do you think about him in your stewardship? Actually, stewardship is a reflection of what we think about God, how we view him as an entity or as a power or as a divinity, or a source of power, a source of authority in our lives. It is very easy to look at natural things and to develop pride about what we've been able to accomplish. But those of us that are high achievers in God, we know that he gives us the power to do these things that we might establish his covenant. So God has given us a dream to realize, an ever-expanding network, an ever-expanding household, an ever-expanding household well. Okay? In other words, God put you in your neighborhood as a wellspring for others to come and drink from. God put you in your neighborhood for others to watch how you manage things, how you function, your routines, your disciplines, that somehow, some way, it will reflect your managerial, would reflect the character of the one who put you there. They won't know it unless you show them. So God has put a wellspring in your house, in that very neighborhood that you live in, that community that you're a part of, the church that you're a member of. He put you there, in the city that you call home, the region in which you live. It becomes a place for others to come and to be refreshed. They're able to come in and watch us and say, wow, that's how you do it. They're able to come and watch us and say, wow, that's the peace of God in your life. You're not worried. Why would I be worried when I'm a good steward of what he gave me? And he promises me that if I'm a good steward of what he gave me, he will take care of me. So I can rest in a storm. They're supposed to be able to dip their cup in the wellspring that's in our lives and have hope that God can turn things around. Even the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the grace that is on our lives, that has been freely given to us by God. That grace, that measure of grace, is so necessary. It is so necessary and needed for those who are around us. Some people think God saved them for them. Yes, he saved your soul, but he really saved you for your neighborhood. I want you to start thinking like that. God saved you for the people who are in covenant with you on your job. God saved you because he wants to change the mall, the place where you shop. God wants people to see how you move, so they were like, what is that about you? Glory to God. God puts you in circumstances because he wants people to be able to dip in the wellspring that you have, peace, joy, hope, and all of those things that come from you, managerial, so you can be a reflection of who he is, and they will come to know who he is, not just from the gospel being preached, but by your stewardship.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from the Disciples of Stewardship, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2202-2008. That's reference number 2202-2008.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today. Trim Nation, it is time to become relentless in your prayer time and prayer life and engage in 10 days of praise beginning Thursday, May 26th, and unite the prayers of our congregation with churches across the globe for the Global Day of Prayer on Pentecost Sunday, June 5th. Our favorite First Lady is stepping into 60 on Saturday, June 4th, and ain't no stopping her now as she also celebrates completing all requirements for licensure as a licensed mental health counselor in Florida. Now is the time to think about how you might wish to bless our beautiful woman of God. All cards and acts of kindness are welcome. Let's gift our First Lady some love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Revealed mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Reveal 2.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.